was, like Paul was. The key word here is discipleship for us. But the moment you were saved, you were commissioned a saint. You were called to a vocation. You are engaged in that vocation. You cannot escape it. If you are a saved person, God has prior claim to any other claim on your life. That means on a day like this, you ought to risk your life to be in church. Because He laid a prior claim over your health and safety. You ought to risk your life to be in church, because there's a whole lot more at stake here than your life. You have been dedicated unto service. Somebody beautifully said, if your salvation has not saved you out of selfishness into service, it likely will not save you out of hell into heaven. And I believe that. And then finally, this salvation produces a design for society. Paul said, all of this is for simple, individual, humble, personal obedience of Christians to the faith of Jesus Christ. Now get this, among all nations. That means that once I discover this, and I receive the dynamic of the Holy Spirit in my life and the indwelling presence of Jesus, wherever I go, Jesus ought to live again right through the middle of me. So that if I end up in the Far East or in South Africa or in Latin America, wherever I am, I don't have to be commissioned by anybody's board as a missionary. That may be an official thing and wonderful and fine, but every person out there who names the name of Christ is to be a catalyst for His life and power to be seen all over again right there where He is. He was commissioned the day He was saved. And He cannot escape that commission. There is no way to get away from it once you are saved. It is for obedience to the faith among all nations. Let me close with a simple story. A great French Christian named Henry Roser was traveling just before the outbreak of World War II in Russian Poland on a train. And he said there were Russian peasants all around him, and they were jabbering in their language, and he couldn't understand it, so he was all alone. He had a French New Testament. And so he took that French New Testament and opened it and started to read. He said he'd read a little while and he became drowsy and he didn't even know it. He dozed off to sleep and the New Testament fell out of his hand and down into the floor. And he said when he was awakened, apparently just a few minutes later, a Russian peasant woman next to him had reached down and picked up that French New Testament and was looking at it excitedly. And he said he was awakened gently out of sleep. He didn't move anything but his eyes. He just watched her. She was looking at that, and he said then she put it down. And she reached down into her satchel and pulled out a little book almost the same size that proved to be a Russian New Testament. And he said she excitedly began to thumb through her Russian New Testament until she came to what he learned was John chapter 4, because when she found that place in her New Testament, then she reached over and thumbed the matching pages and found the place in his New Testament, and she apparently could not speak French. And he said she began to look down hers and linger there a while. Then she'd come over to his and come down the same number of verses. And she had matched the words in the verses there and realized what that French New Testament said by reading her own in Russian. And he said then she looked up at him with the most radiant look on her face. She saw that he was awake. And here's what she did. She looked down the page in John 4 till she came in verse 42 to that word Savior written there in Russian. She reached over to his Bible, spread there between them. She counted down the page and put her finger on the same word in French. And she called him over. He leaned over and looked. She pointed at it. Then she pointed to him and said, and he said, suddenly he knew she was asking him, is he your Savior? And he said, I became as radiant as she, and I smiled and nodded my head and said in French, yes. He said she didn't stop there. She went back down the page in John 4 till she came in Russian to the word disciple. He knew that because she thumbed down the page, the same number of verses, found the corresponding word, pointed it out, leaned over, called him over again, and pointed to that and said, and he said, yes, I'm a disciple of the Savior. Now friends, that's what this gospel is all about. That out from among the nations, God is calling a people unto His name. And wherever Jesus is named like a tall, straight figure in the middle of society, he attracts those who are his unto himself. And being drawn to him, they are drawn then to one another. And when they practice love toward him, it breaks out in love toward one another and cannot be contained. That's what disturbs me about the brand of Christianity right here in this church. Because it's being contained far too well to be disgraced by the name of the New Testament. It needs to break out, but that's going to require that there's a lot of breaking in this fellowship right here. As we begin to break apart and give ourselves to one another, adhering personally and then corporately to Jesus Christ, who is the Savior and of whom we are disciples, for whom and to whom we are disciples, as we name his name. And he breaks it open, then spills it out for obedience to the faith among all nations. And that's what the gospel is all about. Can we bow and pray just a moment before we have our invitation? Lord, I've gladly labored some points today that are yours. And you've given them, and you gave them to me. You moved an anointing on my mind to let me see these things, and I praise you for them. I thank you for the privilege of sharing them and making them known. And I pray right here today that our hearts will be inclined toward Jesus, that we'd be drawn toward him. And being drawn toward him, we would lean.